I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast, After Show!
You threw me for a loop because you didn't say the number!
437. We're here. It's the After Show, and if you're new here, which there's a chance you are.
This might be the earliest After Show we've done in months.
Not only an early After Show, but we had a very, very sizable turnout for our regular show tonight. Understandably so, when you're throwing together all these superstars that graciously joined us. But if you're new here, the After Show is a moment or a few hours worth of us going on and on about things that may or may not be on the topic of disc golf. Often they have some tangent to disc golf, but we sometimes can also get off the rails and, believe it or not, talk about anything non-disc golf related. Usually steering pretty clear of religion and politics still, but outside of that, anything is fair game. And we certainly invite you to join us on the YouTube chat. That's usually the best way to make a post. You can on Facebook. It's a little easier and more, easier way to digest if you throw it into the YouTube chat. And then later, maybe the best part of the After Show, after all of our rambling, we get something together, we load up our Patreon supporters, and then we randomly pull a name out of our Patreon supporters, and we send out free stuff.
Yeah, so if you're a first-time viewer here, I know there were a lot of people tonight, and someone had said like we had like in the 500s viewing tonight. This is what it's like every week. Guests upon guests upon guests.
Yep, all the biggest names.
And we do. We give away something every week. If you want to go to smashbox.tv/weekly giveaways, you can be eligible to win this disc in a box. Not disc in a box.
No. Well, it's got, there's discs in
there's
a box.
There's discs in a box. It's from Disc
but
Member.
I've got to copyright it. Damn it.
You do. So we do different giveaways, but this week we're going to give away a Disc Member box. And what this is they're a supporter of Smashbox TV. And for $25 a month, you can get on their list or on their subscription model. And you get a mystery disc along with a bunch of other stuff in here. It feels kind of padded to me this week.
So a little extra padding. I know how the feeling.
Maybe a towel, maybe a t-shirt.
I've got 19 t-shirts on right now. I'm all padded.
That's
up.
Weird and creepy, Terry, but okay. It's strange.
So all you have to do if you want to be eligible for that is, like you said, you can go out to smashbox.tv/weekly giveaways, or
the easier way,
the much more logical way, is to head over to patreon.com/smashboxtv and become a supporter at any level, and that automatically enters you in week in and week out. So
yeah, so thanks to the couple new supporters we had this week. It's much appreciated. Obviously, if you like what we're doing here and you feel like throwing us a shekel or a quid, or whatever your local... whatever your local denomination or currency is, please, by all means, Smashbox TV on Patreon.
All right. Well, so welcome in. Of course, fair or not, and I think it's fair considering, but Simon Lizotte and a departure from Discmania has very much dominated the disc golf news feeds for the last three days now.
Up until
since
today.
Saturday.
Yeah, up until today. I mean, it's still doing a little bit, but up until today when Discraft announced their Elite Team with their Elite Team video. Yeah.
Yeah, just to recap on in the middle of the night, actually, on Saturday night, what would have been Saturday night our time, or Friday night into Saturday morning, there was a post that was made to the website, and I don't know if it was just within, the worldwide website. It wasn't the website that was geared specifically just to Europe, and it basically had announced Simon's departure. And within that, there was a very nice write-up in there talking about Simon Lizotte is, in fact, going to be leaving Discmania. A few hours later, when you woke up or stayed up or whatever you did, a few hours later, there was not only a video by Discmania, but then also Simon Lizotte with a video of his own. And we talked about it in the regular show that got all the way up to either number 14 or number 15 in trending on YouTube because it was receiving so much viewership in such a short span. And obviously the chatter that was going on around it, that it was trending on YouTube, which may not seem like a big deal, but if you're a content creator and you think about something either going viral or nearly viral or something that has a significant impact very quickly, when you're trending on YouTube, that's not an accident. Something's really going on when it does.
Just think of how many views we're going to get when he comes on the show live and announces his next sponsor.
Yes.
Simon.
Which he will be doing. Right, Simon? We talked about this, Simon. Anyway, I was able, I don't want to say jump on it, but it was nothing more than a coincidence that this news had dropped at roughly 2 a.m. Central Time on Friday night into Saturday morning. I happened to be home and it had dropped. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, that's crazy news. It's official. And well, I could talk about this maybe in the morning or I could just talk about it now. So I got a few things together, went live, and we had a very healthy crowd. I assume most of them of the European contingency, and kind of talk through what we just processed and seeing that Simon had left, not making any indication as to where he's going. He still has not made any indication. The internet super sleuths are at a new level. And I will give just one example of this.
I've seen a lot of silly things.
One example that has a hint of legitimacy to it, but boy, oh boy. Someone had messaged me saying when he put his bag away, he then released a video playing his last round with Discmania.
I saw this.
Rarely do I watch stuff like that or any of it, but I did watch that. At the very end of the video, someone had messaged me saying they saw him put his bag into his closet. His closet.
Okay.
At his house. Yep. I think. I don't know if he hung up a shirt. I think there was a shirt already hanging there. One of the two. And the shirt had a Nike swoosh symbol on it. So they were convinced he was getting sponsored by Nike.
Oh, because I saw where he put his disc into his trunk, and there was a disc in his trunk that looked like a dartboard. And someone had pointed then to a online reseller who does custom dies and like, oh, look, here's an Envy with this custom stamp on it.
Oh,
but it turns out Simon saw that as well and said, no, it's the same stamp and the same dyer, but it's a metal flake, something or other, whatever. So dispelling that particular thing. So there's a lot of people out there.
Of course. And I can appreciate.
There's a picture of Casey that Casey White took of Simon in front of an MVP basket. Like with his Discmania shirt, like it just happens to be, you know,
he's playing Maple Hill. Where
exactly. So
every basket is an MVP basket.
Exactly. So, I mean, honestly, anything.
Yeah. So needless to say, I certainly appreciate the The links, clearly some people are being a little bit funny and facetious. Some people are thinking they're truly discovering, making some wild discoveries. Nonetheless, it has been very entertaining. Part of the follow-up to it, though, was the fact that there was this conversation about discs that the Doombird 4 specifically, a signature series disc for Simon that comes out in a very limited release, just like we've seen Cloudbreakers and so on and so forth that Discmania has done. There was a little hubbub as to, well, wait, is this a last cash grab, to use the exact phrasing you read a lot? Was this something Simon was obligated to do? Was this something Simon volunteered to do? You know, how many more are going to be produced? As recently as a few hours ago, someone said, wait a minute, I've seen an alert saying that more are going to be made, even after they said there's only so many that are coming over on a boat right now. So there's a lot of conversation around those and the...
Here's what I'll say. A couple scenarios. If it's a quote-unquote cash grab from Discmania, I don't care. Simon seems to have promoted it, so it seems to be okay with him.
Sure.
If it's a... I don't know if Simon gets a cut of these discs, even after he's leaving, depending on what's going on. If so, good for him. I don't really honestly care any scenarios on this. I think that odds are...
Sounds like you have a line to the Doombirds.
I do not. In fact, I heard that the pre-sale sold out and that they are now waiting because retailers apparently aren't getting this.
Correct. Yeah. This was yesterday.
Yep. And now there's still going to be another drop later come March or something. February or March is what I heard on the Discmania website, not at retailers though. And I don't know how, again, I'm not a disc collector, so I don't know how accurate this is. All I heard is that they went on sale. They basically sold out relatively fast. And I'm assuming Terry Miller got his. And that I had heard there will be one more drop on the Discmania site, but that retailers were a little upset that they weren't getting some. I don't know the details. Maybe, you know, Simon made this decision and they stopped the run. They were like, all right, cool. Well, this is what we get and this is what we get. But I don't know. Whatever. You know what? Simon has made Discmania a lot of money. He helped build that company. I truly believe that. I think without Simon, I do not believe Discmania would be where they are. And so whatever Discmania does, and as long as Simon's cool with it, I think we need to be cool with it.
I don't know. That seems a little bit nice.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm known for, my niceness.
So Zero String says, Terry, have you ever not been able to purchase a disc you wanted? Yeah. I think there was once.
There's been a few times.
Yeah, no, there's occasionally some drops that will have a limited capability or opportunity to get them. Obviously, with the fact that I travel as much as I do, there is certainly been times where something may come out and I'm on a plane at 10 in the morning when it releases. And even if I did pay for the plane internet, we all know how good that is, or maybe we don't, but it's terrible is the answer. And so I'm not sure that would even be a successful option in that particular case. So, yeah, there's been a few times. I guess I'm blessed in the fact that I often will have good trade bait or material. So if I did miss a very limited run of something, there may be something else that was otherwise limited that I might be able to trade for if I really feel like I needed it. But I certainly am not crying over anything if I don't get my hands on any particular disc. But I did get Doombird Force.
How many?
There was a limit of 5.
Okay. How many did you get?
There was a limit of 5.
Okay.
I didn't see any fine print as to if the limit was 5 per household, per person. And this was a very legitimate scenario. I knew somebody else that wanted 5 that couldn't order them. Where are you drawing, and this might be a question for a Discmania rep, but where are you drawing the line as to buying them? Is it a different address? Is it a different name at the same address? Like, a good friend of ours wanted 5 of them, and I purchased them with my credit card because I didn't have his information, nor would I want it. I purchased them and sent them appropriately to his house, as he wanted them as well. I feel, I mean, that's as legitimate as it gets.
Yeah, I think.
Where do you draw the line? I mean, my daughter has also ordered a few things in the past because she's a really big collector. Those went to our house, but with a different login. So each scenario is a little different. But as I was ordering for someone else, sending them to their house and just happened to use my credit card, I feel like that's as legitimate as it gets. So I don't know.
Terry Miller.
All right. saying that I could figured I could still get one later on. No, not necessarily. I'm very fortunate to be sometimes connected, but I don't get special favors all the time. And I certainly do not count on any that I ever do get either.
Not usually from the manufacturers directly.
Tommy Hawk says it's actually a blessing for Discmania so they can afford Eagle. Well, I know Eagle's locked into
another year
of his contract, so, I think, regardless.
Yeah, we'll see. I know there was some serious courting of Eagle during his last contract negotiation. We'll see what happens with Discmania and the direction they move. It would be difficult and hurt them if they lost Simon and then the next year lost Eagle. But it depends next year if they pick somebody else up. If they pick up a young gun like a Gannon Burr, who I think is next year his contract is up. If you traded, so to speak, Eagle for Gannon, that's not much of a downgrade with the way, you know, assuming Gannon continues his play. There are so many variables right now. It's very tough to call this much ahead of next year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. When we have a full year that needs to unfold. A lot of people, of course, thinking that Simon is going to Innova. That has been another. I feel like for as much as you hear Simon to MVP, you also hear, not quite as loudly, but quite a few people predicting a swap to Innova. Of course, we've talked about the molds and so on and so forth. And really, if you look at it, you know, somebody messaged me today and said, wait, why is everyone leaving Innova? Which isn't necessarily the case, but why is everyone? And, you know, who do they have for their superstars? And you immediately, you know, point to one of the best in the world being
Calvin Heimberg
on the team. And then, of course, they still have their other staples that have been on the team.
Colling, Sexton.
Barsby. You know, all to name a few of their, you know, top level pros. So, but would it make sense? Is there, so to speak, money freed up that they're not paying a Ricky Wysocki as of last year anymore, that they're not paying an Anthony Brella or anyone else right now, that someone like a Simon may be able to slide in there? I don't think that's a crazy philosophy.
Innova probably has some of the deepest pockets in our game. If you just want to look at disc sales, obviously we've got other companies like MVP, like Lone Star, that have other interests and other companies that back them as well for their other manufacturing. But if you want to look at just the biggest pockets in disc manufacturing, I mean, it would make sense that Innova would be able to throw a ton of money at a Simon. The Simon to Innova just doesn't feel to me like a necessarily a great fit. Simon feels so, like, to me, Innova doesn't really seem to attack the social game. Like, you don't hear a lot about their players really going hard on YouTube or things like that. Like, Innova values solid, I mean, everyone values solid players, but Innova seemingly more so than most. And so that's why, to me, it just doesn't feel like a fit. Now, maybe they're looking at changing that. Maybe they're looking to get a better social media presence. And having Simon would nail that. But it just doesn't feel right now. But things changed. Didn't feel right when Paul went to Discraft either. And now look at what's going on.
Ed says, all of Innova's signature discs are spoken for. No room for Simon.
Oh, yeah. There's a thousand. There's Innova has 1,000. They just announced a new disc today. The Charger.
Yeah.
Literally, they say it's like in between a Shrike and a Destroyer. Hello, Simon. Here's a brand new Charger, or any of the old Discmania molds that they call something different now.
Yeah, I feel as if you do bring up a great point, Ed, and maybe I'm just a little bit out of the loop, which is not crazy to think. Is there anyone's name on the destroyer right now? And if so, whom? Because I can't think of it.
Is it? I think it's just stock now. I mean, other than Kelvin's Halo ones, but stock destroyers, I think, are just stock destroyers right now.
So, I mean, from a sales perspective, something tells me that might be an okay. I don't know if you guys have heard of these Cloudbreaker things, but they're not a huge leap from the destroyer. so anyway, just throwing that out there. Tommy Hawk says it's got to be Infinite. He can still throw Discmania and they will both win. So we sell, yes. Anyway, needless to say, things are in the works. When will we see? That's the number one question really at this point is when will we see the announcement? My Intel / prediction will be this upcoming weekend. I think we'll see something announced. Obviously, they wanted to give room for the Doombird 4 mayhem. Obviously, there's a few big announcements this week in terms of a few other players that they may or may not have known about, but days like today, pretty big in terms of the new signings. And then...
not next Tuesday at 9 p.m.?
Maybe. It could be. But if it's not, I would predict Saturday.
Okay.
That would be just my prediction.
Terry, put a little weight behind us.
I've got plenty for both of us. I don't know if I need to do any of that. So we'll see what happens. Eagle says the announcement is just a few days away is what Ed is saying. So, yeah. I guess all the questions will then be answered. And the DG beat says Simon to DGA. Is there... Yeah, it's not even worth it. We've talked about
that. That would be, honestly, and I think Simon to DGA would be a lot of fun because then you have Simon, one of the most likable people in the world, with Tyler Brickley, one of the most creative people in our sport. I think that could be a very fun pairing if that were to be the case. We did see that, first of all, we saw that Austin Hannum is no longer sponsored by Prodigy. He announced his separation from Prodigy, and he has not announced a new sponsor yet. I don't believe. At least I did not see
we
it.
We saw a separation, really? The only thing I saw was that it said new sponsor announcement coming, and I very, very much could be behind the, not in the loop.
I believe he posted that.
It was in another social.
It was in Insta. It was Twitter.
Gram.
It was Twitter.
Do it for the gram.
I think I saw it on Twitter.
What is Twitter?
It's TWITTER.
Well, let's get on top of this. I only say that because I thought I saw a message that said, oh, here it is. It says Wednesday. New sponsor announcement Wednesday. Now that's
true. He did not say
he did not say disc sponsor.
That's true.
So I feel like, I don't know, what's the speculation out there, folks? I think this is a non-disc sponsor. Could be a new bag sponsor. One might say his significant other in Cat, who very much rocks the Squatch bags. Maybe
he's getting a Squatch sponsorship.
Yeah, I don't think he was is currently with them in terms of the bags. It could be shoes. It could be anything.
You're right. I read.
I think you're jumping the gun, but we can start that rumor.
I can spread that rumor, no problem.
Yeah, we can start it.
He's suddenly like some Viking fan, so I honestly don't feel bad for him. And the other sponsorship announcement that we just glared over was the new sponsorship for Gannon Burr getting that Double G Craft Jerky sponsorship.
I think that's great. Just don't touch my hot boom sauce. All right.
What if it's Gannon hot boom sauce now?
That's fine. I can support. Just don't get in the way of the quantities need to purchase and consume of the hot boom. That's all I care about. Best of luck to the rest of you doing whatever you're doing. I don't care. Just keep that hot boom coming my way. And you didn't even know this, but that is a great segue. I want to say, aside from my consumption of it, huge, huge thank you. Double G Jerky and I had a conversation. Ted over at Double G, we recently had a great in-depth conversation, and he had stepped up saying, I'd really like to continue to support coverage that I'm working on, namely in the next few months in terms of some of these upcoming events that are going to be released on my channel. So big shout out to Double G, but then his business partner, Ted, and Double G Jerky. Little secret, guys. I'm going to eat their jerky whether they support me or not, but it is beautiful that more hot booms come in my way and they are supporting me in a significant way, and I appreciate that.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not totally crazy here, because I'm seeing other people on the board say that they saw that Austin Hanum was leaving Prodigy.
Okay.
So I thought I saw that, but then the announcement didn't say it, so I've second-guessed myself.
As you should.
Which maybe I should. So anyway... if it is true he's leaving Prodigy, there's obviously other places he can go. You know, there's obviously, like you said, DGA makes a lot of sense, seeing as how he's with Cat, but not if he's following my rule book, but that'll work.
I mean, is it fair to go out to the...
On Austin said on Facebook, he's excited to announce, I have a change with my main disc manufacturer.
A change? He could be getting promoted.
He could be.
I mean, there's some clever wording I can get thrown around out here. I'm going to try and head over to Prodigy. And I mean, I need to get to the bottom of this like now. So if we go over to there, I'm not sure if that will give us all the details that we need. They have a new box set that they're offering up. If you want to go check that out. Gears, discs. Why am I not finding?
I think you literally have to Google the Prodigy team. Because they don't have like a link for it up top, which is,
there we go. It's under the about.
Oh, it's under the about.
Well, and then there's a street team.
Just hit Team Prodigy up there once.
Do they? Okay, here we go.
Yep.
Tournament team, ambassador team.
You want the core team, I believe.
Where we see currently, we see Alden Harris, we see Austin Hanum, Kale LaVisca, Ezra Robinson, Isaac Robinson, Kevin Jones, Heather Young, Gannon Burr, Luke Humphreys, Luke Loretson, Manabu, Seppo, Vino Makula, and Will Schusterick. And I think we also saw that Will Schusterick made a post recently saying that he's excited. He said, no surprise, I'm with Prodigy, that we got. But I think, I thought he referenced even within that post that he might be trying to play a little bit more golf this year.
That would be
phenomenal. And if so, that would be awesome to see.
Yeah, I know.
Or I could be making that up, but I'm pretty sure that's what I saw.
I hope so. It would be fun to see Will get back out on the course. I mean, he was one of our long throwers. And if he feels comfortable now with where the family is, I know obviously his young son had quite a few medical issues for the first year or two of his life, but if he feels comfortable now where they're at and he feels he can get on the road a little bit with his team, more power to him, man. I would be really excited for that.
I'll read it. I guess we could interpret as you wish. He posted a day ago saying, no surprise here, I'm looking forward to hitting some big events in 2023 while also hosting events, making videos, and designing courses. We have an amazing team and look forward to making 2023 great. Hashtag Prodigy Disc. So
awesome. Good for him.
Very cool. All right. Let's see what's on the board. Tim asks a valid question that I was also asked the other night as to Heather Young. Is she still retired? Are we going to see her on the tour? Is she all right? I don't personally have any updates on Heather. I hope that all is well. We saw her, you know, jump off the tour. Is that last year now? At the early part of last year in 2022 mm-hmm. or 2021? Now I'm losing my years. But yeah, unfortunately, we haven't seen Heather. Whatever she has going on, her and her game and or family, hopefully everything is working out in her best interest. And
I do feel it's tough because we don't know what's going on in the background. We don't know what type of issues or family or whatever, just decisions that are being made. But it feels like she's really almost missing the boat on some of these big sponsorship deals that were maybe she had the opportunity to take. She was one of the best putters in the female division. And so she could have been able to possibly continue to take those top fives and tens and really earn herself a solid sponsorship. But you know what? As we all know, disc golf isn't everything. And if life steps in the way, sometimes you just need to follow that path.
All right. Reading a few others off the board. Someone says that they have Seppel on there. That's outdated. Not really. He retired,
but it doesn't necessarily mean he's not on the team anymore. He's still part owner.
Yeah.
Over in Prodigy Europe.
Everybody has to call him daddy or something. I don't know, but he's very much 100% Prodigy. Yeah. If he's listed on there, that's certainly not going to detract, in my opinion, whatsoever, one way or another. Someone says, surprise. Are you surprised we didn't see Prodigy sign a couple of big FPO? Yeah, I mean, considering that we saw a few FPOs ultimately, leave and then transition elsewhere, I don't know how much Prodigy was in that conversation. I don't know how much they were in the market for it. But, you know, seeing your Lisa Fakus move, seeing your Stacey Ronsley, obviously Valerie ended up moving.
Maybe that's where Paige Shue is going.
Paige Shue could potentially land there. So I don't know if surprise is the word, but you're right. We didn't see any major new additions from what I just read off. Jacob Curtis is out on the board, otherwise known as Cupcake. Hope you're doing well, man. Jacob, of course, will be again representing Clash in 2023. Also, quick shout out. I was just getting in the shower, and I wasn't about to shower with those guys, but Disc Golf Answer
Said
Man.
Said you never.
Disc Golf Answer Man was up and running for a live show this afternoon, and the early part that I did hear him say was that they kind of took what ended up being a very abrupt break, and then holidays and everything else, and they're planning, and Robert McCall with the new responsibilities and whatnot that he has, they took a very abrupt break to Disc Golf Answer Man, but now it is up back on the upswing to get back in the
swing. I
need
to reach out
things.
To Robert McCall. I haven't chatted with that guy in a while.
Look for that, and they filmed it earlier today. I'm sure it's still on YouTube. Otherwise, he said it would be available as a podcast tomorrow, so make sure you check them out. And they had stated Clash will support their podcast, however Clash Disc will be, but it will continue to talk about all brands and all things on the Answer Man podcast.
Ray Zerhausen asks, JVD, we got to at least mention the Packers and the NFL. How do you think Rodgers is going to hold Green Bay hostage for the next 6 months? No, I don't think so. I think he'll make a decision one way or the other, probably in the next month. The dude is owed next year $53 million. So
for next year?
Yeah, that's hard to turn away. It's hard to walk away from. Not that he needs the money, I'm sure, but an extra $53 million, it never hurts spending cash.
That's assuming he plays?
Assuming
or is
he
guaranteed
plays.
That no matter what
no,
happens?
Assuming he plays, he's owed $53 million. It's his option to play. He can step away and retire and not take that $53 million. But like I said, he has more money than he knows what to do with. Like $53 million is a lot of money.
I know, but $53 million in 1 year is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. But if you already have $200 million,
$53 million is 25% more.
I understand.
Oh, you said 200? No,
I don't know what he has.
12.5% more.
Still, I don't know what he has. But ultimately, and it's tough because if he stays, it's on one hand, I think he does have another year in him. I think now that he's got these wide receivers that he's becoming more comfortable with, I think they'll be a better team. And I think he still has the skills to play. But that $53 million, man, against the cap, that hurts in that it's hard to sign any free agents when you have that much money wrapped up in one person. Look how rough Discraft is doing with all their money wrapped up in Paul.
great.
Not the same kind of analogy. No, there are no salary caps in disc golf.
How good? And I know there's plenty of criticism of Rodgers, maybe on and off the course. I get all of that. I do. He's still an above average skilled quarterback. Like most teams would look at Aaron Rodgers and be like, damn, we'd still take him. Not that they could afford him, blah, blah, blah. But like his straight up skill set is still well above probably league average.
Yeah, there's probably 12 or 13 quarterbacks that I would look at right now and be like, I wish I had that guy over Rodgers.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's mostly because they're good and they're young.
Sure.
But there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that I wouldn't want. Like there's a lot of talk on the board about Lamar Jackson, who I would take Rodgers over Lamar Jackson I would take, you know, Geno Smith, who's in the playoffs for Seattle now. I would take Rodgers over him, and Geno's a couple years younger than Rodgers. But, I mean, you've got a lot of young guys now that are coming in that are mobile. They're good. You know, it's tough, but I would still take Rodgers' skills and knowledge of the game and being able to read defenses and whatnot. And, you know, we had issues this past game where we lost to the Lions, but most of them weren't on Rodgers. He didn't make, there were one or two decisions he made that I didn't love with throwing the ball, but for the most part,
those still aren't a blip on the Brett Favre radar either.
Well, they were
just used to throw it up in the air.
They were a little Brett Favre-ish.
Happened,
but our running back fumbled. One of our wide receivers missed a ball right in his hands. Yeah. Like it just, there were other things, and I think that again, you give this guy another year with these rookie wide receivers. I think we're going to, you know, we would not probably be an 8-9 team. We'd probably be closer to, I'd like to think, a 10-6 team. But again, I don't know. It all depends on what else happens with free agents and stuff. And it's, if he leaves, that's life. And then we go with Jordan Love and we see what's going on there, you know, and we might be in 30 more years of doom like our parents were.
Yeah. Yeah, which
we've been
which
blessed.
Would be crazy.
We've been blessed as Packer fans.
We certainly have over these last couple of decades. All right. Aaron says, being from Detroit, hell yeah. Yeah, I could see how you would feel so good about not continuing on with your season and being able just to piss in someone else's Cheerios. I guess.
No, that's, yes, 100%.
I get it. Get it. From a rivalry perspective, but it's also, in the same token, a little sad and pathetic that's the best you can go for, right?
I mean, it is. Here's what I'll say. Congratulations on a winning season for the first time in I don't know how many decades.
Since we've been alive.
I know. So it's I'm happy for Lions fans that they're seeing a little bit of success and that they're almost thinking about being a playoff team. If things had gone a couple different ways, they might have been a playoff team this year. So we'll see. I mean, that's good. They've got a solid core in Detroit, but you know, it wouldn't shock me next year if they went 4-13 again. It just, that's the way the NFL is. And again, I'm happy for the Lions fans who knocked the Packers out. You know, I would feel the same way if we knocked the Vikings out or if we knocked the Bears out of contention. So,
yeah.
That's your Midwest
rivalry. Yeah.
So
wasn't there a year though that the Lions had as many wins as I did in the NFL?
Yes.
So that's impressive.
That is impressive. So that just goes to show you that's a hurting franchise. They're like they're one state above the Browns. You know, almost quite literally.
Is that like, I don't know, like tripping? Up the stairs and while you're doing it, you grab someone else's ankle. I mean, like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice work. But again, yes, all part of it. Aaron says good night.
Sorry, Aaron.
As you should.
Much love, buddy.
Anyway. Thought this was a DG channel.
This is the after show, bro.
It's the after show, Jeremy, so anything can get talked about, although that will likely be the end of our football. Ed does ask, who wins Shelly Sharp on the FPO side, Jen Allen or Maria Oliva? I mean,
flip a coin, honestly.
Battle of the Texans to some degree, the old school Texan Oklahoma. Nah, I don't know. Yeah, it'll be a great battle. You know, clearly no shortage of power by either of those women. Mm-hmm. Jen clearly lives there and is very, very familiar with all the courses, but it's going to come down to, I think, more so whose putter is doing more work that particular weekend. We've seen Maria can get on fire with her putter, and I've seen Jen Allen have so many opportunities at birdie that even if she only gets a fraction of them, she still beats people. I mean, she's just can drive so much better and put herself in contention more so than a lot of her competitors, especially on a course like that. So it will be a good battle. I'm committing to at least final round coverage. I don't know if we're going to have rounds 1 and 2, but at least final round coverage of that event on the FPO side. And MPO, Jordan or Jonathan White is claiming AB for the win. It's going to be a fun battle. Aaron Gossage last year was in the thick of things. AB, Drew Gibson, all those guys are going to be there as well.
I mean, AB's going to have new plastic, so you don't know. You know, maybe that putter isn't quite what he thinks. And can he get himself close enough on a lot of these that the putter doesn't matter?
Yeah, we'll see. What did he say? CT focus. SS?
No, a CT focus, and then he gave the plastic, which was like a rubber blend or something.
Oh, the rubber blend, that was it. Yeah, I don't have time to keep up with all of these anymore. We've evolved from knowing a few molds to now.
Listen, we rattled off a lot of molds to Holland.
That's true.
That she just didn't even consider.
Blank. Yeah, just blank.
I mean, that's...
We didn't even talk about the Deuce either.
No.
Very... Nope.
I think she should be putting with the APX.
Yes, the soft, swirly APX. That would be...
Or maybe the Hypercolor Challenger would really fit her.
Yeah, the UVs have made a little bit of a comeback.
Have they?
We've seen a little bit of comeback to some of the UV plastics. Spockheiser, I assume you've been around long enough to know that before... Maybe this is a little lesson, and somebody could argue with me otherwise and be wrong. CT, listed as crazy tough... Didn't used to be CT for crazy tough. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I vaguely.
So
I don't know what it stood for.
Back in the day, when a world champion had left Team Innova and then was part of Team Discraft, his concern was to have an AVR like putter because that's what he had putted with, and so there was a very firm challenger that was made, which was called a Cam Todd challenger. And Cam Todd eventually was no longer part of Team Discraft, and so I think rather than trying a rebranding strategy or entire marketing swap, rather than changing it out for being a CT, which was Cam Todd challenger, mm-hmm. Crazy Tough became
the abbreviation.
So there's a little lesson. I could be wrong, but I think that's how it went down. All right. I want to go to your golden pine cone, Tim Turney. Tim
Courts is running a local tournament.
Ooh, let's get this out of here.
It's in our Discord. If you want to find our Discord, I'll make a post on it, maybe in the show notes or something, if I remember. And it's basically just, there's different rules. You go out there, it's got to be scored on UDisc. You play your local course, and it's a couple different things like that. It's kind of like a satellite challenge of sorts. I believe so.
Where you kind of like they've done with the global event.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm fairly certain of that.
Okay, I like it. Ryan Pilcher's out on the board. Hope you're doing well there, Ryan. But Tim says it's on his private course. So are we going to his house or not?
Tim, that's only at your course? I'm sorry, I read that as that was like a global thing you were running. So if that's at your private course, Tim, that's awesome.
Should you go?
Everyone should go. Just show up.
let's start doxing him right now. Also, somebody had asked earlier if I had the chance to see the Mint Dis announcement with regard to Mason Ford, and I was able to consume the live announcement version for a little while. So and essentially what I saw was they had a little bit of a tease where they went live. Then they did the video, the pre-recorded video, which, as Johnny commended earlier and said, was great. He loved it. I loved it as well. I thought it was great. I saw that, and then I saw them introduce Mason inside the brewery. I think they're at Live Oak. They introduced him inside the brewery, brought him out, and then they had some questions, and he talked a little bit. And then at that point, I had cut out, because I had to go do something else. But that's what I had seen. I don't know if you have more of a follow-up than that, but that's what I did see take place on Friday. So, all right. What else? Are we missing anything else that's actually in the news, disc golf news, that we should know about?
I don't believe so. I think we kind of talked about almost everything that really needed to be talked about, Terry Miller.
One of the other pieces of information that I don't have all of it in front of me, but I know they were talking recently about 1,100 rated rounds and just the actual scarcity of them.
There's a Sporkle. For those of you that don't know Sporkle, it's kind of like a quiz website where you can create your own quizzes that I believe Stat Mandel went out and listed more or less all of the 1,100 rated rounds last year and whether or not you knew them or not. So, and my understanding was even the guy who created the quiz only got like 150 out of 155 or something. Like, he created the quiz, wrote it, put it in there, and then even he forgot that the quiz is that difficult if you can name them.
And okay.
I certainly couldn't.
I think the one tidbit that I saw was something like out of the umpteen or out of the millions of recorded rounds within disc golf history that are linked to Stat Mando that they're aware of. And again, I'm going to totally misquote this, but I thought it was something like 0.0000068, something like that, have been 1,100 rated. Like, just this absolutely infinitesimal, tiny, tiny little number of overall rounds that have ever hit 1,100. And then we talk about the frequency in which they take place at the memorial due to a whole myriad of reasons, so on and so forth, but just how often that they really happen. And they're not nearly as common as I think we like to think about or talk about, especially when you put them in the scope of all potential rated rounds. Yeah. I mean, is that kind of like, I was almost going to say, is that kind of like 300 games in bowling compared to every game that gets bowled in a year? But I'd almost go as far as
it's
saying
probably like, more 300 games.
I was just going to say how many 900 series, which is, I don't even know how many, I don't even know if those exist. That's, I'll show a little ignorance there. I don't even know if there's no way there's a, is there a 900 series? Now I want to look it
there's
up.
There's got to be. I guarantee
you think
is.
Somebody, I think 36 consecutive strikes for a 900 series in a sanctioned scenario. How many 900 bowling series are there? To date, 39 individuals have bowled a total of 40 certified or sanctioned 900 series.
There you go, Terry.
39 individuals. I don't know who knows what about bowling. Obviously, the 300 is incredible. What 900?
What shocks me is that the first one was in 97. At least
the first one documented.
The first one documented, and maybe it says here in USBC history. So maybe before that, there wasn't a USBC history. Because, I mean, bowling has been relatively popular since like the 40s or 50s is when, you know, whatever. But of course, the technology has changed and there's all this different stuff. But yeah.
Man, we could go out and watch the last three strikes of Aaron Vollmer's 900 series.
No, I'm good.
That's insane.
It is.
I can't even fathom. Yeah, Indiana man. In June 29th of 2022, Brian Deck of Newcastle became the 40th U.S. bowler to roll a perfect 900 series. Elkhart Lake man did it.
Wait,
in 2021. That's not far from us.
Wait, when was that, you said?
In June 29th of 2022.
That one's not.
It's not even on there?
No, because it must not be part of the U.S.
Oh, there's the Elkhart Lake guy. Look at him. Yeah, there's Greenfield, Wisconsin. Obviously, this is a very popular bowling place. So
we used to actually have the Bowling Congress here in Milwaukee, the U.S. Bowling Congress.
Man, I got to have a talk. We need to get some of these people on the show.
Oh, no, we don't.
Yeah.
You can have it on the
draw. You threw a ball 36 times just in a perfect spot.
Yeah, I mean,
in one night.
You can have that on you know, the drop zone, Terry. You've got a podcast for all your awful ideas.
That's true. I do. All right. Well, needless to say, color me impressed. There have been 40.
Yeah. I mean, there's been clearly more than that, but these
sure.
The one in that was particularly a registered one. There's probably another, I bet you probably twice this total in history of people that haven't registered it in a particular,
or
maybe they had it in a league or something like that, but
somehow wasn't sanctioned. I don't know. I would not have guessed 40 of them. Color me impressed.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Tim says he hasn't bowled in 15 years. Well, Tim, you got some work to do if you want to catch up. So
my high bowling game in my entire life was 189, and I felt like I was on fire.
Well, yeah.
And because, yeah. And the funny part was, I was subbing in. It was a 3-game set, whatever. I was subbing in for somebody in a bowling league. And they asked me, like, what do you normally bowl? And I'm like, I'm 100. 100 to 110, I'm good. Like, okay.
I had the night of your sandbagging ass.
The first game, I had the night of my, or the game of my life, I bowled a 189. I think I had 3 or 4 strikes. And I was like, holy crap. And everyone's looking at me like,
well, you had more than 3 or 4 if you bowled a 189.
Yeah. And I was, again, I had the night of my life or the game of my life. The next game, I think I bowled a 70 or an 80.
Yeah. So it evened out.
And so it was, yeah, literally, I was just like, and they were like, oh, okay. And I was like, I don't know. Just, I came up off the couch and crazy.
That was
similar to the one time I played a buddy of ours, Pat Sattler, and I went out. And we played cricket one night at a local bar. I closed cricket out in 7 rounds. Just, I hit everything. A couple triples, a couple doubles I got lucky with. I've never closed out cricket and probably less than 10 rounds in my life. That night, 7. I was like, look at this. Who's the man? And then I think our next game probably went 15 or 20 rounds or something. Something dumb. But, you know, everyone has their moments.
Yeah. All right. Well, Johnny V is going to line up our Smashbox giveaway here for the week, unless you've already done that. But as we talked about earlier,
it is ready and raring to go. By the way, this week we had like 7 or 8 people do the weekly giveaway option. So there, congratulations. Now, to be fair, you have to do that every week. If you want to be eligible for that, you have to go every week and sign up. I only picked the last weeks. So that's why if you go to patreon.com/smashboxtv, you're automatically entered in. You don't need to remember that every week because we don't mention it every week and you're going to forget. And then you're going to be really disappointed when you don't get this disc member box like someone tonight is going to get.
Yeah, they are.
patreon.com/smashboxtv. That's all we'll say. So, Terry, we have 155 people eligible for our giveaway tonight. What number are we going to draw? I think I know the number you're going to pick.
You think I always pick 2. But I'm going to pick 5. We're going to go...
Ooh, I thought you were going to go 3.
Oh, no.
Because we had 3 guests tonight.
Yeah,
That's what I was going to go with.
I'm for some reason, I'm on that 5 train. We're going to go with the 5th one.
The fifth number. So our first number is 65. Second number is 109. Third number is 17. Fourth number is 60. And our 5th and final number, the winner tonight, is going to be number 12. I sorted them by email address tonight. 12. Let me pull up our 12th person in my list here, if I can get my mouse to work. Scroll up. And 12 is, I almost said Bo Jackson, but it's Ben Jackson.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson would be cooler. Sorry, Ben. Bo don't know.
Yeah, just think of...
Bo knows disc golf, but Ben knows disc golf. Thank you, Ben Jackson. You Patreon supporter at the $3 level, much appreciated.
Yes, thank you very much. Tim just asked on the board and said, any updates on the Patreon disc?
I have them upstairs, and I just need to sign them and hand them over to Terry, and then we're good to go.
And the plan is to get those out before I head out for a lengthy venture. So that would be the plan, which would give us a little less than 2 weeks.
I will hand them to you sometime this week then.
So a little less than 2 weeks before. Yeah. At some point, there's a really good chance, and you can put this on your calendar, Johnny. There's a pretty good chance I'm going to be gone for 5 straight weeks. It will be likely the longest departure from my homeland or house at a given moment or a given stretch of time. Just with so many things going on, a couple weeks in Thailand, I am going to be at the, have a part of the All-Star Weekend, and then we have Vegas, then we have Memorial. There's just a lot of stuff going on. And with that, since you didn't ask.
I never do.
So we'll have to figure out a few of those weeks. Obviously, the timing may or may not work out. You're biggest nightmare may come true in that you're going to have to look for a replacement guest for a few weeks. I don't know how you're going to survive. Or a replacement co-host for a few weeks.
We don't need replacement co-hosts, Terry. I do just fine on my own.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
We might just stream Mario Kart. I'm just me and Adam Hammes and Corey Ellis.
You could do that. What the heck was I about to look up?
And I will just absolutely talk shit as I demolish them.
Those kids don't know. What the heck was I going to look up? I apologize. It wasn't something to do with the diss. I don't know what it was.
I am investigating right now, talking podcast stuff.
Oh, Logan Paul.
What are you
talking? That's not going well for him. Investigations?
Oh, investigations. Yeah, we briefly...
it's not gotten much better.
After the podcast, Terry and I were
which
talking
about. Which I'm not going to lie. Quick side note to all of that. I wouldn't mind seeing him and his brother like taken down and then just eliminated from all internets for the rest of my life. But that's another story.
Yeah, and they seem like not great human beings. I'm starting to investigate a change in our podcast provider.
Ooh, what does that mean?
So right now we use Libsyn. So every night I upload the podcast to Libsyn. I'm looking at some other providers to see what's out there and what we might have for an option. So just be prepared. This won't affect you if you're a Patreon supporter because you get your own private RSS feed.
Yeah, you do.
So, you know, you get right away if you're a Patreon supporter. I upload it pretty much every night. And then the other ones come out either the regular show comes out tomorrow morning at like 9:30 and then the after show, I push out on Friday. And all that would do is I think depending on the number of views and what we can do, if I move to another company, they might be able to do some ad revenue for Smashbox depending on what we're doing. So anyway, I'm just doing some investigation. So just be aware. I'll let you know if anything changes out there in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, Patreon supporters will always get an ad-free version of this show. The only ads that we have on the show are the ones that Terry plugs his own stuff.
I do. Speaking of, disc in a box.
Let me tell you about Skip Ace.
you go first. What can people expect for Skip Ace here?
Oh, what do you mean?
What are you working? Well, when will people be able to, like, pick...
So the leagues will probably open in about a week and a half. And at that point, you'll be able to sign up for new or recurring leagues. If you had a league from last year, I believe you can will be able to renew it. Still working on that. My web developer actually took a couple of days off because he moved from Utah to Milwaukee, of all places. So I'm going to actually kind of have a lunch with him. For bowling, who knew? Meet in person for the first time. I've never met him. We've had Zoom calls, and at some point, I think this summer, I actually want to take him out disc golfing. He's an outdoorsy kind of guy, younger, but he knows nothing about fantasy sports, and he knew nothing about disc golf coming into this project. He was just a good web developer that I worked with, so I'd like to get out.
Sounds like you should sign him up and get him playing if he knows nothing about him.
That's clearly,
I mean, that's... That's what I want to play against.
But yeah, so everything will be available, I'm hoping, by the 20th. So about a week and a half, maybe the 23rd, depending on what happens. And we'll be good to go. It'll be exciting. And you'll hear more about it in the next week or two.
Okay. Somebody asked about a Schwebe tracker. I did speak to Schwebe not too long ago, but he is up to career win 351, currently at career event 797, and the win count is at 351. And of course, you're like, oh, but is he playing this weekend?
Yeah, yes, he's probably playing this two
weekend. No, just one currently for this weekend. Then the next weekend, he's got back-to-back events. The weekend after that, he's playing an event. The weekend after that, and so on and so forth. And we're going to see him out at the Las Vegas Challenge. Schwebe has not stepped foot out in Vegas in quite a few years. So really looking forward to seeing him out
there. Wasn't he banned from Vegas for like that weird thing?
Seems like something that would happen to him. but it wasn't his fault. I swear it was not his fault.
It wasn't me.
It's never your fault in Vegas, is what I've been told. So nonetheless, congrats to Schwebe as he keeps rolling on this ridiculous winning path. And I'm going to break a little news that's not totally private, but Schwebe's eligible for MP50 this year. And so to see how he can continue to wreck folks there should be exciting.
There's some other news that you and I know.
Probably. I don't know.
That affects the Disc Golf Pro Tour and what you're doing and stuff like that. That I don't know if it's been announced yet publicly.
I don't think so.
Okay. I know everyone at DGN knows. but I didn't know if anyone else knew. So maybe we'll announce it next week. We'll talk about it next week.
But that does spark me thinking about what I was going to mention a little bit ago, which is, and I think we briefly touched on it, but of course the Disc Golf Pro Tour had made mention and very much put it out there, the DGPT Industry Conference. And that is taking place the couple of days leading into the All-Star weekend. And I want to bring up a few details just so I make sure I share them with you correctly. There's various confirmed speakers and session topics. Shopify best practices, elite level course design with Kale and Brinster and others. Steve Dodge and entrepreneurship, Infinite Dis and OTB talk about national retail. More retailers by other people, equipment in disc golf, Bushnell, Grip, Zuka, nonprofits, social media roundtable. I think that's where I'm going to be. That and the State of DG Media, I think, are a couple of the ones that I'm going to be partially involved with. Jomez is going to be involved with that. And then DGPT event best practices. So all of that, there's been an announcement, DGPT.com. That's where you can find out more information if you qualify and if you if that fits something that you would be either eligible and interested in doing. That's the 15th through the 17th, literally just the day leading right into the All-Star weekend. And I've been graciously asked to be part of it. I knew as soon as I heard that it was coming out, of course, I had kind of likened it to what we were thought we might see from Infinite last year for the Disc Golf Con. But this is a little bit more dialed in, and it doesn't have as much in terms of
this is not for your casual player.
This is
an industry conference. If you're a serious TD, maybe this is a good place for you to go.
Some form of retail or something that fits some of these categories. Disc Golf Con was definitely a little bit more broad and focused on a fan experience for seeing some of our top level pros. This is not quite the same. This is definitely a different version of that, or has a different slant to it. But it's going to be the first one ever, and I'm super excited. I wanted to go to be a fly on the wall and to take it in, and now I've been asked to come in and essentially give a portion of a presentation as well. So super excited about it, and thank you to everyone at the Disc Golf Pro Tour for extending the offer for me to be part of it. So very excited.
So much fun.
Oh, now I think I maybe know what you're talking about with the super top secrets, but those are not to be discussed here yet.
I didn't think so.
But there might be exclusive news here on Smashbox. We'll see about that.
Yeah, let's make it happen.
All right, guys. I think it is. It's about that time. I don't see anything unless there's other stuff on the board.
Are we going to get with the rhythm and the rhyme?
Yeah.
Okay.
Feel it. good vibrations. Ray says it is crazy. Y'all give us a 3 to 4 hour podcast week after week. We are lucky to be in the golden age. We are seriously lucky that that greater than zero people actually bother to tune in. That's what we are thankful for, is that greater than zero people find even an ounce of value or entertainment value. I don't know.
Even if you're hate watching, we love you.
Yeah. So we very much do appreciate all
of you
guys. I
mentioned it last week when we had some guests over to our house and somebody came down here and the guy was like,
"Yep,
you talk about disc golf for like 2 to 3 hours every week? Is there that much to talk about?" There always is. We never have a problem.
There always is plenty. John. No, Simon's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. I heard he was leaving the country. I won't be doing any research, Tim. I ain't got time for that. If it's not in the dome, it ain't coming. Guys, we appreciate it. Thank you to all of our incredible guests that we had earlier. Of course, James Conrad, along with Holland Hanley, along with Anthony Barella, the assist from Hannah Macbeth. Go check out the Party Podcast over there on the Disc Golf Network. For Johnny V, I'm Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. This has been Podcast 437's After Show. We'll see you next week when you step inside the Smashbox.
Hmm. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.